Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International. The time is now exactly 12 minutes past the hour of 9. In studio we have Maulana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We also take this opportunity of greeting all our listeners on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, how was your Ramadan? Ramadan just passed, a very different Ramadan than the norm that we normally go through.
Alhamdulillah, I think under the circumstances it was excellent. Generally, we spend our Ramadan in the Haramain Sharifain. This year, unfortunately, with the will of Allah, we were unable to. We spent quality time at home, and I was telling the family that next year we may miss this Ramadan. It gave us lots of time for reflection, for connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the family. So maybe we will miss this Ramadan, but we make dua that Allah ease the difficulties that humanity is facing. We also make dua, alhamdulillah, the haram of Medina has been opened. Makkatul Mukarramah also, inshallah, should open soon. We make dua that Allah bring everybody back to the homes and the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we appreciate the houses of Allah more than before, inshallah.
Inshallah. Well, we've labeled this few weeks that we're going to go into the topic we're going to discuss. It's called, Are You Holier Than Thou? Are You Holier Than Thou? Now, we do have our WhatsApp line. It's 072-786-1548, 072-786-1548. We would like some interaction there. And also our lines will be open towards the end of the program. That's the last 10 minutes we'll give for questions. If anybody wants to ask questions, you can call us on 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. But that's more towards the end of the question, towards the end of the session. It's towards the end of the hour, from about 10 to 10 till about 10 o'clock.
Maybe a little earlier, Maulana. I want to end a little bit earlier today.
Inshallah. Okay.
We have another meeting to attend to, so if we can do that, inshallah.
Okay, as soon as the topic is done, then we'll say that the lines will be open. Maulana, are you holier than thou? Why this topic?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Maulana, the question, why this topic? Based on my experience of life and other people, the ulama, and specifically in our country, we've come to a conclusion that we all believe that we are right, and that anyone who disagrees with us is wrong. This is a concept that is building in our community, and it is necessary to say here that it is not the case with everybody. It's definitely not the case with everybody. And if you observe that some people do live out this idea that if you disagree with me, then you are wrong. And in my experience, I've also observed that some people live out the self-righteousness in a good way, in a nice way, where they believe they are right. They maintain their position without going into a mode of criticism of those who disagree. So I definitely observed many people who live out this righteousness, the self-righteousness, in a good way, in a nice way. However, unfortunately, there are others who live out this self-righteousness and excuse me for the language, Maulana, in a downright evil way. There are those who live out the self-righteousness in a downright evil way. And we also tend to make our determinations of what is right and what is wrong according to our own preferences sometimes, according to our own interpretation sometimes, and many a times without regard to other people's views, to other people's preferences or interpretations. So we tend to make our determination of what is right and what is wrong according to our own preferences, interpretations, and having absolutely no regard for other people's preferences, other people's interpretations. But problems arise. When does this become a problem? A problem arises when our preferences or our interpretations are incompatible with other people's preferences. And you're asking why this topic. Now, I want to make a reference to a discussion, a discourse of Maulana Ahmad Khan Puri, may Allah keep his shadow over us, a great scholar of India, the Mufti of Dabel. Many of our ulama in our country are students of, and he, one of his recent trips to our country, and he gave this talk in Azadville, and he mentioned something very profound. And here is a man who is the Khalifa of Mufti Mahmud Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, a great scholar who we all show respect to. And he mentioned this, that the tashaddud, the hard-handedness, the harshness and extremism, the word tashaddud he used, and I'm translating this word tashaddud into hard-handedness, harshness, extremism. So he says the tashaddud that I see in South Africa, and especially the, among the ulama in South Africa, I have not seen anywhere else. And I'm going to repeat this aspect. And he said that the tashaddud that I see in South Africa among the ulama in South Africa, I have not seen it anywhere else. And then he went on further to mention some of the fears that he has with regards to this mind frame and this temperament that ulama are having in this aspect of tashaddud and hard-handedness. And he had requested at that time the senior ulama, and more specifically the Darul Ulooms, to pay attention to this. It should not be that this approach of ulama become detrimental to the ummah of South Africa. So this is one of the reasons you're asking why this topic. Then I felt that maybe there is a need, although I don't regard myself as a senior alim, I honestly say I'm a sinful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is one of the reasons that I feel that there is a need for us to address this issue, because it can only become detrimental to the ummah, to the fraternity of ulama, and to the youth, where the confidence in the ulama would be lost in the way that we as ulama are behaving in our times. And when I say we, I'm not pointing fingers at any particular group. I'm talking general as ulama. Going further, Maulana, I also would like, as you said, why this topic? I would like to give an excerpt from a lecture that was delivered by Sheikh Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi rahimahumullah. And he gave this lecture, subhanallah, in 1985 at the renowned Darul Uloom in Karachi, Jamia Uloom al-Islamiyah in Allama bin Nuri Town. And this talk he gave in 1985 in the presence of the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, who was my Ustad, Mufti Wali Hassan Tonki Rahmatullah Ali. And he, at that moment in 1985, he addressed the students in the Darul Hadith. And he also gave a very short talk in the Masjid of Bin Nuri Town. And he gave a talk on Surah Kahf on a Jummah. However, in his address, and I'm going to read out the translation of the talk, a small excerpt, it highlights the dangers, and I'm choosing my words very carefully, it highlights the dangers of over-amplifying disputed issues. The talk that Mawlana Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi rahimahumullah gave highlights the dangers of over-amplifying disputed issues, especially among the masses, whilst equally emphasizing that calling for balance is not to be conflated with calling for a compromise in belief and practice or barring important discussions. And I think this is important. We are not in any way advocating that academic discussions should be avoided. So this aspect that Maulana Abul Hassan Nadwi mentioned, it highlights the dangers of over-amplifying disputed issues, especially among the masses, and it equally emphasizes that calling for a balance in disputed issues is not to be conflated with calling for a compromise on your particular position, whether it is regarding belief or practice, nor does it call for barring important discussions. May Allah grant us the correct approach and understanding. Now I'm going to talk about what Maulana Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi has actually mentioned. And he goes on to say, we have a number of examples before us from Muslim history, which serves as a great warning. If you read up on the countries where Islam declined and enemy forces overcame the Muslims, you will find a number of things from which lessons can be drawn in today's era. So in his talk, he makes mention that if we read the history of Islam and the history of Muslim states, we will find there are examples which give us great warnings. And he says that wherever Islam declined and enemy forces overcame the Muslims, one of the reasons you will find that a number of things from which lessons can be drawn in today's era. And then he goes on further to say, one of them was severe discord between scholars, meaning ulama. One of the reasons was the severe discord between scholars and ulama. And the second was a lack of connection. Subhanallah. I mean, Maulana Abul Hassan had such foresight. The one was the severe discord between scholars. The second was a lack of connection between the scholars, meaning ulama, and the lay people, or in other words, the professional class of society. The discord, one of the reasons is the severe discord between ulama and the lack of connection between ulama and the professional class of society. He went on further to say that the scholars' personalities, ulama's personalities, were not so influential as to be able to maintain respect for the religion. The character of the ulama, the personalities of the ulama, were not so influential as to be able to maintain respect for the religion and esteem for the scholars in the hearts of laymen and the professional class. This discord between ulama led to people showing disrespect to the ulama. On the basis of my study, he went on to say further, on the basis of my study of history and close observation of the Muslim world, I can say that theological and political turbulence is extremely dangerous for this country. He's speaking of Pakistan. He went on to say that on his history and close observation of the Muslim world, he can say that theological and political turbulence is extremely dangerous for this country. Religious groups are at loggerheads with one another. Certain discussions which could have been had in an academic fashion have been brought into the public, and on the back of them, disputing groups and opposing war fronts have come into existence. He then goes on to further to say, this is very, very dangerous. Maulana Abul Hassan even further went on to say, I am associated to the same group as you. He's addressing the ulama. I am associated to the same group as you. And my sentiments are exactly as the same as yours. In fact, not only are our estimates, our sentiments the same, but rather, subhanAllah, our elders raise the banner for which they were given many new labels, and they had to face severe difficulties and opposition. But if we lose the very earth beneath our feet, what will these buildings stand on? So for us in our country, we can say that our elders, the likes of Mufti Ibrahim Sanjalvi, the likes of Maulana Mia, the likes of Maulana Umarji, the likes of Maulana Yunus Patel, the likes of Maulana Ibrahim Mia, the likes of, and I would say, the likes of Maulana Abbas Ali Jina, the likes of Maulana Ayub Kachwi, the likes of Maulana Qasim Sema. These were our senior ulama, the likes of Maulana Waliullah. These were our senior ulama that laid the foundation for the benefits of what we are reaping today. But if we lose the very earth beneath our feet, what will these buildings stand on? Maulana Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi went on further, and I'm drawing the comparison between what he said and what we are observing in our country. Maulana Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi went further on to say, addressing the ulama or addressing the students at the madrasa where I studied, our elders sacrificed a great deal to preserve the religion in this land. If the need arose, subhanAllah, if the need arose, they even accepted their mistake and humbled themselves and stepped down. And this I'm addressing to all the ulama. It is a need for us to reflect. And if we are making mistakes, we need to accept our mistakes. We need to be humbled. And he then went on to say, they said unreservedly, look, you take up the seat as long as the religion remains intact. This is the tradition of our elders. The tract of Shah Waliullah, alayhimur rahmah, and those who follow his school in the Indian subcontinent. That's what Maulana Abul Hassan said. He then went on to say, you can discuss disputed issues freely in your study circles and academic settings. You can write books on them, but do not put the entire nation in danger with the way that you are behaving. And if you just look at this, and this is found in his khutabat, this talk, and I've taken it from there. Now, this is so important. He went on further to say, Maulana, you want to mention something, it's not done. In fact, this is the foundation of our talk. He went on further to say, and this aspect I really want to highlight. He further went on to say that whenever a new battlefront is set up and calls that manifest a superiority complex are made. If you look at what Maulana was talking in 1985, Maulana Abul Hassan Nadwi, and just reflect that with our situation in our country. He says, whenever a new battlefront is set up and calls that manifest a superiority complex are made, another battlefront arises as a response. And the loud chants of who can be better than us are raised therefrom. And we see this in the social media war that's taking place in our country. Maulana said, whenever a battlefront is set up and calls that manifest a superiority complex are made, another battlefront arises as a response. And the loud chants of who can be better than us are raised therefrom. He then went on to say, giving advice, however, the work of all our elders was marked with humility, suspecting one's own self, and with faith and expecting rewards. He said, our seniors, They always had humility. They always suspected that there is a possibility that I am wrong. But unfortunately, this aspect of our seniors is lost today. He also went on to say, never did they claim to be leaders, nor did they claim that it is only our group that has done everything, or that we are the be-all and end-all. This was, this was how Shah Waliullah, may Allah have mercy on him, was. This was his pain. This was his vision, which changed the face of the Indian subcontinent. He then went on to say, you affiliate yourselves towards him. You know, we always say our akabirin, the way of our akabirin. So Ma Abul Hassan went on further to say that you affiliate yourselves towards him. This affiliation requires that the selflessness and sacrifice this country requires be presented. And be very frank and say, all right, it is your achievement that is the greatest, but let us come together and save this nation. In the current climate of dangers and fears, what scope is there for scholars to be fighting one another? Maulana said, in the current climate of dangers and fears, what scope is there for scholars to be fighting with one another? I say this whilst fully maintaining my beliefs. All praise is for Allah. I am not willing to give up even an iota thereof, neither in acts of worship nor in the principles of belief are we willing to make any compromise. It is one thing, and it's so important this part, it is one thing to stick to your own practice, but it is another to make a public spectacle, use laymen and the professional class as pawns and turn the whole country into a battlefield. He mentions further, we have a Ya Rasulullah conference in one place and a Muhammad Rasulullah conference in another place. Fighting over such issues is not worthy living for. And this is mentioned in the Iftitahi Bukhari Khatam that Maulana has had. Now, you asked why this topic. Firstly, I must say that I do not regard myself as a senior. I am a sinful servant of Allah. But I definitely see the need of addressing this in the light of people having the self-delusion of righteousness. This holier-than-thou approach that many of us are becoming guilty of in our country as ulama. And taking cue from Maulana Ahmad Khanpuri's address to the ulama in Azadwal, and taking cue from the address of Maulana Abul Hassan Nadwi in 1985 in the Darul Hadith of Jamia Ulum al-Islamiyah in Binuri Town, I feel what we are observing and witnessing in our country today, there is definitely a need to address this. I hope I've answered your question, Maulana. I know it was a lengthy answer about why this topic. You tell me, maybe if you can tell me, do you think there is a need for this topic? I might be totally off target of the need of addressing this.
Well, definitely there is a need, especially in this time and age, as we mentioned, and this Ma mentioned about, you know, this bickering between ulama, and that has gone out on social media, especially in our country. Number one, when we see that looking from the layman's eyes, a person who's not an alim, understand that when ulama are fighting each other and it comes to the fore, then we find that the public lose respect for the ulama. Number one, the public lose respect for the ulama. Number two is, when we should be encouraging people to do more good, then even if a little is done, we shouldn't be judgmental, we shouldn't be watchdogs over other people. And we should also understand that gaining the closeness of Allah has many different avenues. Gaining the closeness of Allah is very, very different avenues. It shouldn't be that if someone uses another road, then we say that no, this doesn't conform to our liking, so it gives us the right to start criticizing and branding people. So that's also that what needs to come to the fore.
Yes, inshallah, as we go along, and I want to say this, that inshallah, we'll discuss this in the way that we are try to address this in a very balanced way, without taking side on either way, but addressing all of us, inshallah.
Ma, so how does Ma wish to address this topic?
Yes, how do we wish to address this topic? I want to address this in a very balanced way, without making any group a target. And I want to mention this with great emphasis, without making any group a target. Because then I will be a victim of doing exactly the opposite of what we want to promote in this program. And if what we say and what we discuss in this program, inshallah, for the next few weeks, makes sense, alhamdulillah. And if there is any weakness or flaw in what we are going to say, I sincerely request that I be corrected, for it is then from my own misunderstanding. Having said that, the ability to distinguish between right and wrong is an extremely essential skill in the life of a Muslim. The ability to distinguish between right and wrong is an essential skill in the life of a Muslim. It is the bedrock of our success in this world and in the hereafter. But what makes something good or what makes something evil may many a times come down to a very subtle distinction or a difference. What makes something good or what makes something evil may come down to a very subtle, a very small distinction or difference. And I would say and make the statement, the devil really is in the details, both literally and figuratively. Sometimes the difference are so subtle, but we expound on it so much, we blow it so much out of proportion, and that's where the devil lies. And that's where Shaitan uses this, you know, this approach of holier than thou, this delusion of self-righteousness to make us fight each other. And this is one of the things that we're going to be addressing. And in this, inshallah, we will address it in the way that I've just highlighted a little bit of the things that I've just said, inshallah.
Inshallah. Well, I think a few areas that we need to discuss also, one is with the ikhlas, when we're doing the sincerity that the person has. Is it only for the pleasure of Allah? Another thing is when it comes to, especially on social media, we find that there's a lot of branding, name-calling. When it comes to the aqidah, what does Islam say about calling others by different names? Also, if there is something that is wrong, you know that there's something wrong, what is the correct procedure of rectifying others? And also, if someone is doing something wrong, we should also hate the action and not the person. That is, hate the action, not the person.
Jima, very briefly, I would want to mention the role of the nafs in this.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking of holier than thou, we're talking of the delusion of self-righteousness. A lot depends on the condition of oneself, one's nafs. Often, such distinctions are rooted in our conscious, our soul, and our self. And each one of us has an aspect of the nafs, aspect of the self. And you spoke of sincerity, and one aspect of the nafs is nafs ammara bisu, the nafs that directs you towards evil, which instigates you to commit evil deeds, and which is exploited by Shaitan and his army in the battle against believers and the forces of virtue. And this is such a sensitive aspect that many a times a person feels that he is doing good by rectifying evil, rectifying something that is inappropriate. And his own nafs brings him, the nafs-e ammara bis-su, the nafs that directs him towards evil, which shaitan many a times takes advantage of, and that's when there are this battle between the right approach and the wrong approach. And these are commonly understood virtues. For example, and we will discuss this under these various headings, the love of Allah, reverence, gratitude, friendly competition, authentic leadership, the whole concept of nasiha and advising, esteem, the favorable opinion or judgment, and respect and regard for others. These are some of the things that we are going to talk about, inshallah. Then, these virtues that we are talking of, the commonly understood virtues are contrasted. These that I've spoken of are contrasted with sometimes very subtly corrupted counterparts or opposite. In other words, when we're talking of love for Allah, is my love for Allah to the extent that I begin hating the creation of Allah? So these are some of the things that we are going to talk about. When we're talking about respect, is there an element of hypocrisy that comes within me? When we're talking of gratitude, is there, in contrast with that, the aspect of boasting that comes out? Because it's only a person that has the pride of himself that has the courage to pass judgments on others. And we talk of friendly competition versus envy. Indeed, there is this aspect of friendly competition. I want to do better than you, alhamdulillah. If I can give a good talk, if somebody else can give a talk better than me, alhamdulillah. That friendly competition is encouraged in Islam. But does Islam really allow us to have envy and hatred for someone else that does good? And many a times, the type of language that is coming out and being displayed and being manifested, really, we need to really ask ourselves the question, is that friendly competition or is there envy? Then the whole aspect of, you know, authentic leadership and love for leadership. We're seeing what is happening now in our country among ulama. The whole, you know, fight for leadership, the whole competition for leadership. Is it really an authentic leadership or is it just the love of authority? Is it an aspect of market share? Then you have the aspect of advising, giving good nasiha, and condemning. So advising is encouraged in Islam. But does it really require us to start condemning people? Then the aspect of esteem and pride. So the purpose of this discussion, inshallah, is going to be to equip us with knowledge and the tools that we can use to help us succeed, inshallah, in the jihad, in the struggle within our nafs, and more specifically, nafs ammara bis-su. Inshallah. We'll continue next week from here, Maulana.
Gee, if we can just, we'll give 5 minutes between,
no problem.
Between now and,
Tentu,
has a meeting to go to. So, inshallah, we'll give 5 minutes, just for...
10 minutes is also fine, inshallah.
And we do have some aids also to play. So, inshallah, we'll go for a break, and in that time, if you do have any questions, you can phone us on 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548, and we will take your calls in after the break, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. We are discussing the topic, Are You Holier Than Thou? We have one caller online. Let's take this caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Mulana. Can you hear me?
Actually, we can hear you.
I'm going to be very brief. I know Mulana is married to go to a meeting. Mulana, I am 73 years old. I have attended madrasa in the 1950s. The time when Mulana is talking about of the time of Mulana Abdul Rahman and all the past ulama. Those ulama are now deceased and gone. Today, I, as an elderly person, I'm not an alim. I don't know much about Islam. All I know is that I must pray 5 times a day. I read my Quran. Mulana, my biggest problem is confusion. Confusion. Today, if I have any question on Islam, like a masla or masail, I don't know who to turn to, Maulana. Because when I look at Facebook, when I look at WhatsApp, I see ulama calling each other names. Okay? So, how do I go to that person when I know he's called another Ali Makafi? Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. The problem is lying with the ulama. The problem with the ulama is Salah Raghi says that he is not a senior Ali. But he is a prominent alim. There is a very big difference between a prominent alim, a senior alim, and an ordinary alim.
Gee.
You understand?
Gee.
And he says that people are doing things for name and fame. I talk from personal experience. I come from a humble masjid. If we go and ask some of these prominent alims to come and give a talk in our masjid, they won't come. The same alim will hear he's got an appointment, he's going to read in Shenton and Houghton Masjid. The same Ali will be talking in 4 weeks. You know, but they won't come to us. The problem is how accessible you at the ulama, how accessible are you to us? We, now time of crisis or corona, there's a dispute carrying on about usul, how do, or what should we do? All these things. At the moment when we are in crisis, you are in crisis.
Gee, I think that will, Omar, I think that
inshallah, that's a good point. We need to be accessible and we need to be giving guidance where people have confidence in the ulama. And that's really the reason why we've chosen to address this topic. May Allah give us all sincerity and may Allah make us among such ulama that are willing to serve the ummah, inshallah. Jazakumullah.
Gee. We have one message that says, Assalamu alaikum. Unfortunately, when learned scholars become materialistic, then the fitnas we have today become rife. The originals of the Asli ulama, the likes of Mufti Sanjawi, Hafiz Abdul Rahman, Muadaya, etc., really sincere and dedicated to our deen. May Allah protect us from the fitness of these trying times.
I just want to make a mention here, Maulana. I think that even the comments that we are going to be accommodating on this program, we should be very careful that we ourselves are not passing such comments that tend to pass judgment on ulama.
100%.
I think that's also important for us, that we will accommodate questions, we will accommodate comments. Mm. But when we start commenting on some of the negatives, if you're going to see the way we're going to approach this topic, we ourselves are not going to make judgments. Now, a person that's saying that when ulama become materialistic, I think we just need to be a bit careful that we ourselves do not fall victim to the same thing that we are trying to address, inshallah.
Another message that comes needs to be addressed immediately between ulama. Assalamu alaikum, beautiful program. May Allah guide us and make us realize the value of the ulama and instill the utmost respect for them in our heart. It's very important that, you know, we still have respect for the ulama. And another message that comes, Assalamu alaikum, if the ulama put themselves in the shoes of the Muslim ummah, maybe we will see that we have to deal with on a daily basis. We are confused. It depends where you study what's respect.
Yes.
Well, Jazakallah for your time, much appreciated. Inshallah, we'll continue with this topic next week.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah, Maulana. I know we've taken a topic that is a sensitive topic, but we ask Allah to guide us. We ask Allah to make us say the right things. And I again repeat, I again repeat that if there is anything that we are going to say during this topic that is incorrect, it will be from the weaknesses of ourselves, and people have the right to rectify us if we are going to say anything that is incorrect. Jazakumullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And with that, we come to the end of today's program. Inshallah, you can catch us again next week, Wednesday, between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., where we delve into the topic of Ayu Hulia Dindaw. Myself, Muhammad Bam, Muazir Ahmad Raghi, and Hafiz Shuaib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.